another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, heart, fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Oh, welcome to the Rediscover Hour on this absolutely gorgeous Friday morning. Or, if you're listening on Saturday and Sunday, I hear it's supposed to be a wonderful morning as well. Evening on Saturday, morning on Sunday as well. Yeah, the Lord really blesses us with some beautiful weather here in this great state of Minnesota. And I think in the middle of January, this is the weather we need to remember when we're, you know, maybe as I like to do, lounging around on my back deck and just soaking in the sun and the beautiful breeze and that sort of thing. Yeah, we need to remember these days. This is why we live here. This is why we live in Minnesota. So welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's we took a little break last week from the live show as Relevant Radio was doing their annual pledge drive, not annual, their quarterly pledge drive. And I want to say just on behalf of the Rediscover Hour too, thank you for those of you who were able to give something of what you work hard to bring in, just share a bit of your resources, because that contributes to all of the good ministry that Relevant Radio is doing, including the Rediscover Hour here on Friday mornings, Saturday evenings, and Sunday mornings. So we are grateful for your generosity in that way. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to some friends of mine from the Cathedral Parish, Deb and Wayne Waldera. Deborah and Wayne Waldera are going to be on Drew's show this afternoon, speaking of Relevant Radio, the Drew Mariani Show, and they're going to be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, God willing, along with Drew this afternoon. And he's going to be praying that at 3 p.m. as usual on the Drew Mariani Show. So if you're able to tune in and hear some locals here to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, please do so and pray along with them. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet along with them at 3 p.m. this afternoon, Friday. Now, again, if you're listening on Saturday or Sunday, I'm sorry that you missed that, but go ahead and pray a Divine Mercy Chaplet anyway, and avail yourself and all of us to the mercy of the Lord. So here we are on this, again, beautiful Friday morning, and we've got a very great show thinking about how, you know, the light of God, it pervades our lives, and then we go on and we share it with those around us, and that's a wonderful and a very important, a significant thing to do. It is what we call, in the very broad sense, evangelization. Now, of course, evangelism and evangelization includes our own bearing witness, bearing testimony through our words and our deeds. None of us are excused from either, living out the gospel in how we live our life and sharing about the hope that is in our risen Lord Jesus Christ, alleluia, with those around us, with the entirety of the world. Today, specifically, we're going to be focusing in on the ministries of Catholic Charities and the ministry of ABREA. So we are very privileged to have Tim Marks, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities, on with us in just a moment. And then we're going to be joined by Nancy Utoff, the new Executive Director of ABREA, and Sarah Mealy, the Communications Director of ABREA. And they're going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on for ABREA pregnancy resources as well. So, great show lined up as we're talking about how collaboratively and cooperatively we are sharing the good news of Christ, especially with those who have particular needs coming up here just after the break. But of course, as always, we want to pause and dedicate this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So good to be with you on this beautiful Friday morning, or Saturday evening, or Sunday morning. Please stay with us as we are going to be back with Tim Marks after this.
Rediscover.
When you take an important personal service like dentistry and apply traditional Catholic values, a neighborhood approach to patients, and contemporary procedures and care, you have James Kohler Family Dentistry.
Don't let our old classic building in North St. Paul fool you. I'm Dr. James Kohler, and our expanded offices offer our patients comfortable and gentle care, as we have for years. What has changed is our expanded space allows us to welcome new patients and provide same-day repairs on crowns, fillings, and more. I'll look forward to introducing you to our experienced staff providing modern dental techniques. Appointments are available this week. Let us know you heard about us on Relevant Radio and receive a free electric toothbrush. I will never lecture. We work for an affordable, comfortable, and quick repair of most dental issues on the same day.
For an appointment, call Kohler Dental in North St. Paul at 651-777-6454.
You can find out more about us at relevantradio.com, keyword dentist, or call 651-777-6454.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, and we're speaking today with Tim Marks. Tim Marks is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Catholic Charities here in the Twin Cities. He works with the Board of Directors with talented executive leadership and hardworking staff to establish the strategic direction of Catholic Charities and oversee its implementation. Excuse me. Good morning, Tim. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Well, we specifically, Tim, wanted to talk a little bit about Higher Ground, which we'll get to in just a moment, because I know you've got a great new facility there, and we want to hear all about that. But I just want to know, how did you get involved with Catholic Charities to begin with?
I got involved with Catholic Charities back in the 1990s through my parish as a volunteer. And then through the course of the years, I got to know the organization better. I was a practicing lawyer, and Catholic Charities was among the clients for whom I provided legal services. In addition, I had various positions in city and state government, and Catholic Charities was a key partner in advancing the work of the City of St. Paul and the State of Minnesota on numerous issues. So developed great respect and affection for the organization and its mission.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, thank you. Let me be the first, or probably not the first, I hope, but to say thank you for all your good work with Catholic Charities. We really appreciate it. So let's turn our attention now to that new Higher Ground facility. So tell us more about what first prompted the thought that, you know what, we could really use a new facility here with the Dorothy Day Center here in St. Paul?
It was two things. First, the Dorothy Day Center, established in 1981, was never a place that was intended for people to spend the night.
Mm.
It was intended to be a day center to get people connected to opportunities. And as homelessness increased, it was asked to do more and more. And finally, in 2011, we had to turn people away because it simply ran out of space. It was undignified. It was crowded. It didn't smell very good in there, just an inhumane situation where 250 people each night were crowded on thin mats, inches apart, on a cold, hard floor.
Wow.
And we knew something that had to give. And in the meantime, as we knew that something had to change at the Dorothy Day Center in Minneapolis, we had developed a new model called Higher Ground Minneapolis, which had dignified shelter, connected to permanent homes, and the right services that would, in a better way, move people out of homelessness and into permanent stability. And so what we've been working on these past years is to take that model that we have successfully implemented in Higher Ground Minneapolis and bring it to St. Paul as a new vision for the Dorothy Day Center, which we're calling Dorothy Day Place. And Higher Ground St. Paul, the first part of that new vision, is now up and running so that 473 people are treated with the dignity that God originally intended them to have.
Wow, that's amazing. Thanks be to God. 473 people, you said.
Yes.
So is that indicative of how many beds you have to offer there? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, 473 beds and permanent homes. Because
right.
What we've learned in the field is that we, unfortunately, there are people who are going to need a temporary shelter in order to be able to get to the next place to better their lives. Mm-hmm. But what they need most is a permanent home. And so the unique aspect of both Higher Grounds is to have that dignified shelter, which in comparison to Dorothy Day has decent bank bugs, natural light, clean and decent and lighted space so that people have a sense of dignity, but then connection to permanent homes right up above it. And that's the unique aspect of the Higher Ground models, both in Minneapolis and now in St. Paul.
Right, right. So tell me a little about a little bit about the process that it went through from thinking about bringing Higher Ground Minneapolis and instituting that here in St. Paul as well. What were the key points along that way and along that route in terms of things like city approval and funding and all that sort of thing?
So to provide some context, the new Dorothy Day Place is the largest public-private partnership in housing and social services in state history.
Wow.
And so when that community crisis emerged in 2011, we went to the community and started with the mayor's office and said, we have a crisis, and everybody knew it. And that brought the business community to the table. It brought philanthropy to the table. It brought the faith community to the table. And since then, we have gone through the process of all of the approvals that are necessary from a city and county perspective. We have received significant state funds, and we have now raised a significant amount of private money that has been brought together in this public-private partnership.
Mm.
And we are almost done with raising the public and private money that is necessary to complete this project. We're at the legislature for some additional funding right now, and it's receiving support on a statewide and bipartisan basis. And we have wonderful business and community leaders that are helping us raise $40 million of private money. And it's all coming together. And it's really important that it come together now.
Mm.
Because if we don't get in the ground this summer, we start to lose investors to some of the complicated financing that we are using. Costs begin to rise because we can't expect our contractor to hold the bids. So if we are going to achieve the vision as we have outlined it, we need to have the private sector and the public sector finish their jobs so that we can advance this new vision, the second part of it, and be in the ground this summer. That is absolutely critical.
Wow. Well, just in case there is a listener or two out there, or a listener or 100 out there who are listening and thinking, I would like to get in on that. I would like to donate some money. How is the best way for people to be able to contribute to this project, Tim?
The best way to go is to dorothydaycampaign.org. That will get you to our website, and you'll learn about the project. You'll learn about opportunities to be a financial partner, but also how to be an advocate and a volunteer. And all of those three things are important to this effort: donors, advocates, and volunteers in order to make this new vision go forward.
That's excellent. I'm speaking with Tim Marks, the Executive Director and CEO of Catholic Charities. And we're speaking about Dorothy Day. It's got a new name now. You said Dorothy Day.
Dorothy Day Place.
Place, yes. That's what I was missing out. So Dorothy Day Place, and then the new Higher Ground facility as well. So, Tim, tell us a little bit more about the accommodations and services that are offered there at both Dorothy Day Place and Higher Ground. You said that there's both temporary and permanent housing there, but what other things are continuing to be offered there?
Sure. So Dorothy Day Place is the entire campus, of which Higher Ground St. Paul is a part.
Got it. Thank you.
And then the next part of the project will be the St. Paul Opportunity Center and the Dorothy Day Residence. So think about a campus that has multiple things, like a college campus, that occur there. The first thing we do is make sure that there is dignified shelter for people who need it. The second thing that we do is make sure there are permanent homes, and there are permanent homes in each part of the project. And the third part is to make sure that there are access to services, financial services, job training, a mental, dental, and health clinics, special services for veterans. healthy meals so that people who do have their homes or need to get to one have access to those services that can allow them to move to a better place in their lives. And it's done in an integrated way in a beautiful new campus that improves not only the individual lives of those who are going to receive the services, the housing and the shelter, but also fits much better and adds value to the community, which is right in the shadow of our cathedral in the Capitol and on the commercial gateway to St. Paul. Very critical that we do this well, not only for the vulnerable people who will be served, but for the broader community that we ask to support the entire effort and project.
So just out of curiosity, Tim, if someone were, if someone is in a situation in which they need one kind of help or another, or many types of help, they walk in the front door of Dorothy Day Place, or a door of Dorothy Day Place, what can they expect to encounter just on walking in?
They can expect to be treated with dignity as a child of God and to have us get to know them. And then we ask them some questions. Where are you? Because part of what Catholic Charities does is take people where they are.
Yeah.
And some people, with just a little bit of help, a good idea, or some additional resources, can get the help they need, and they can move on almost right away. Another group of people might be experiencing homelessness. And then we will invite them to our shelter and determine what their needs might be, whether they can move into a home right upstairs or elsewhere in the community, because we work on housing throughout the entire region and have housing throughout the entire region. And what challenges do you face? Are they financial? Are there mental health issues, chemical health issues? Are you a veteran with post-traumatic stress syndrome? All of the type of things. It's an intake, but a very respectful one that take people where they are and work with them to determine what would be a better place and how to get there. And what is so important about the new Dorothy Day Place is that we have adequate space and people and the community support to do it well. Because right now, under the old Dorothy Day Center, it was an overwhelmed facility that we lost track of people because it was not in a very dignified situation. It was not designed for that purpose. Now we have the opportunity to be much more successful in helping them be successful.
That's wonderful. And I would imagine that in terms of looking to the needs of the various types of people and the various life situations that you encounter as people are coming in through the front doors, that you need quite a few boots on the ground as well. I know at the I'm part of the Cathedral of St. Paul Parish. I know we have a group that comes down on a regular basis and helps out with meals and such. Are there still opportunities for volunteering? Are you still looking for people to volunteer and doing various things there at Dorothy Day Place?
Yes, we have many volunteer opportunities now and will at the new Dorothy Day Place. They may be a little bit different, but that basic provision of meals will continue to be a kind of a hallmark of the volunteer experience, which is so important, we think, for our clients to have people in the community recognize them and provide them that healthy meal. It's also so good for our volunteers, we think, to get to know what is going on in the community and take that word back to their churches, their communities, and their businesses to say, there are people in need in our community. We can make a difference, and we don't have to accept their condition as a permanent situation. We can make a difference.
Right. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus right there on the ground, which is a
wonderful
thing. Yeah. So if people are interested in volunteering, should they inquire at their parish, or is there a place online maybe to inquire about volunteering there?
Sure. Go to cctwincities.org, and one of the big icons you will see are volunteer. And then that's where you can link to our volunteer page.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. So one closing question for you, Tim. many of us may not necessarily personally be in a position where we need the facilities of Dorothy Day Place and Higher Ground and that sort of thing at the moment. But we may know people who do, or may encounter people as during our day-to-day life who do. What advice would you give personally on how someone can refer someone to receive help there at Dorothy Day Place and Higher Ground?
I would offer kind of two options. One, go right to our website at cctwincities.org, and there'll be an icon that says Need Services.
Okay.
And you can contact us. Otherwise, the United Way has a program, 211, you dial 211, and that's kind of a community helpline, and they're very good at referrals as well. And if there's somebody that is right and around there, come up and knock on the door,
yeah.
And a friendly face will greet you.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. Tim Marks, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Catholic Charities, it's been great having you on the show this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick.
Well, it's great to hear what God's faithful are doing on the ground here in the Twin Cities area, isn't it? Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we'll have more just right after it, so please stay with us.
Hello, this is Maritza Sanchez, Director of Admissions for the Laboray Society. Many Catholics are concerned about declining vocations. In recent years, the Church has been forced to close hundreds of parishes and religious communities. Some people say no one wants to be a priest or a sister, but that's not true. There are thousands of men and women discerning a vocation to religious life, but they are being turned away from seminaries and religious communities because they have student loan debt, which religious institutes can't absorb. So what can faithful Catholics like you do? You can help Laboray rescue vocations.
Laboray has delivered hundreds of men and women into religious formation by teaching them a Catholic fundraising model. Through Laboray's program, vocation candidates have erased significant student loan debt in months rather than years, rescuing vocations the Church would have lost forever. Invest in Laboray's program and leave an eternal legacy to the Church of great numbers of Catholic priests and religious. Visit LaboraySociety.org today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Connolly with you again. And after hearing from Tim Marks there in Higher Ground facility there down in downtown St. Paul, we're going to move right along University Avenue a little ways, and we're going to come up to Abrea Pregnancy Resources. Joining me in studio now is Nancy Utoft, the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources, and Sarah Mealy, who serves on the board of directors and as such oversees development and marketing and does all sorts of types of things for Abrea. So welcome, ladies. It's great to have
you on the
program.
Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yeah, very good to have you with us. So just for those who may not be aware, if you could tell us a little bit about what Abrea actually is and what Abrea does, please.
Well, Abrea is a wonderful place for women to come when they are facing an unexpected pregnancy. That's really the core to our mission. And to meet that woman where she is, help her through that immediate crisis, and then walk with her over the course of the first 2 years of her child's life. So we provide support in that immediate moment, as well as counseling, life coaching, education, material assistance to help her through that time.
That's wonderful. And you know what? I made reference to your location, but I guess I didn't actually say it. In case there's somebody listening right now who needs your services, where are you located?
We're located on University Avenue at Vandalia, 2200 University Avenue West in St. Paul.
Okay, very good. University and Vandalia. Wonderful. Yes, I live somewhat in that neighborhood, and every once in a while I come driving by and say a little prayer for you as I drive by as well, which is, it's wonderful that you're there in the neighborhood and so easily accessible. So thank you for that. So, Nancy, you are the new executive director. Congratulations,
thank
by the
you.
Way. And that's been, I have here, that's been only since April the 20th. Is that right?
Well,
or has it been a little bit in the making before that?
I would say not much sooner than April 20th
okay.
in the making. I have been on the board of a predecessor organization, University Life Care Center, since
right.
2006.
Oh, okay.
And then became president of the board of our new Abrea model 2 years ago.
Okay.
And our current executive director, Lisa Schmitz.
Yeah. She's been on the program here before.
She has. And she, her husband, his job relocated to Colorado Springs. So sadly, she had to leave us. And actually, today is her last official day with us. And so we started a search process in January for a new executive director, went through the process, met some fine women, but around that April 20th day, we, the search committee, looked at each other and said, you know, we just don't have the candidate yet.
And I have to jump in,
please, Patrick,
you don't mind, you know, there were just a number of us, and Nancy is so humble, but she would say, we are just, you know, we're just such admirers of her calm, her steady leadership, her maturity, her business acumen, and her visionary leadership. And actually, several of us that were kind of independently came to Nancy when we saw that these finalists were great, but we were looking for just something very, very special. And so a number of us approached Nancy and said, you know what, the best person for this job is right here.
Would you prayerfully consider it?
And we're just so blessed. It's the best possible outcome we could ever think. And I know she would not, she's too humble to say it like that, but what a blessing it is to have Nancy at the helm right now. It's just amazing time in our history, and she's just the perfect leader for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that, Sarah. I would say, as I said to someone recently, I needed some prodding from a few of my colleagues, as well as the Holy Spirit, to kind of move this stubborn woman to that decision. So it has just been confirmed in me, and my husband is very excited for this, and I just am really getting in there with Lisa over these past couple weeks, rolling up our sleeves and diving in.
Yeah. Well, certainly congratulations again, Nancy, to you. And Lisa, if you happen to be listening, a very fond farewell to you. Thank you for all your service.
We know she is listening.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. We love you.
Yes, very good. So actually, let's take a look backwards a little bit here and see what you're inheriting, if you will, with Abria right now. So what kind of fruits have you seen since Abria's doors first opened, since you took on the Abria model, and you've seen the doors open there on University in Vandalia?
Well, we opened the doors at Abria in this new location under this new model in October 2015. And since then, we have had over 1,700 distinct client visits.
That's amazing.
It's just amazing. And the number of clients, distinct clients, has been 581 clients, which says that our clients come back multiple times, which is exactly what we want. We want to have them come in and build that trust and then build a relationship to help them with whatever they need. Really importantly, we've had 345 pregnancy tests, and over 60% of those have been positive, and at least a third, if not more, of those women who have had those positive pregnancy tests have been abortion vulnerable or abortion minded. So we know we're getting to the right women that we need to get to.
Right.
And then finally, ultrasounds. We've done 208 ultrasounds, and we know that if a woman who is abortion vulnerable, abortion minded, has an ultrasound and sees her child, national statistics are that 85 to 95% of them will choose life.
Right, and that makes total sense. So I'm just curious what it must be like to say you're a young and perhaps vulnerable woman who's not even quite sure yet whether she's pregnant or not, but she comes into Abria and she takes a pregnancy test, or she has a pregnancy test, and it comes back positive. Just to be present there in that young woman's life at that time, I mean, I think that is a gift right there, to offer her the support that she's inevitably going to need, but also just the emotional state that she must be in, the troubling thoughts that might be racing through her head at the moment. Is there any kind of particular, I mean, how do you view a situation like that? And then what is it like to be in that sort of situation?
For me, and Sarah can maybe add to this too,
please.
But I am not on the front lines, because that's really not my call and my gift. But to now, over these past couple of weeks, be at Abria every day and interacting with our staff, seeing the clients come in, I know that the staff are so present to that woman in whatever her need is, and open to her and there to support her, to not judge her. That is just so key to the way we approach our work at Abrea.
Yeah.
Looking at that woman, eyeball to eyeball, and opening ourselves to her so that she can find the answers within her.
Right.
Yeah, and Patrick, you know, when we talk to our staff, and they we just hear so many really beautiful stories of women that are finding themselves, they find themselves in a really, you know, unexpected, tough situation. But the hope and the beauty, the, you know, strength that we see in them, they just don't know whether or not they can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And many situations, and unfortunately, you know, we had just see a lot of brokenness. There are a lot of situations where there's very broken relationships, very broken family situations, and a lot of pain and disappointment, and they just don't know who they can turn to, and they don't know if anybody cares.
Right.
They don't know if they're really loved, you know. And to be, you know, frankly, right across the street, you know, that the Planned Parenthood is the single largest abortion provider in our state.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of, they do 5,000 plus abortions in that one building each year. And there are people that are going in there and they think that's their only option. And to be right across the street and to have people that are just there to welcome them, open arms, and just find out what's going on, you know, in their lives. And then to walk with them, that's a huge deal.
Right.
And we see a lot of beautiful fruit from, out of the brokenness comes a lot of beauty.
Yeah, and you know what I love about it, too, is that exactly what you're hitting upon, that both of you mentioned this, is that there is that individual piece of love and care and support and opening yourselves to them, which I imagine must mean that it's not just a working in somewhere like Abrea is not just like a 9-to-5-er. You're carrying these women in your heart, in your prayers, and you're seeing this transformation that happens, even, I would imagine, even from the very first moment. Because, I'm just kind of imagining, and I suppose in a way I'm projecting, but I'm guessing that at least some of these women maybe have never had anybody to really look out for them, to really care for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's been years and years and years since that's happened. You know, whether that, it might have been a parent, or it might have been somebody who was really looking out for them. But once again, I can imagine that that's they're feeling the most alone that they've ever felt before, and here they find at Abrea somebody who's willing to convince them that they're not alone mm-hmm. in this.
And I think too, to kind of go beyond you know, that initial moment where we work with them,
right?
Because of that brokenness and the things they struggle with, that we have the opportunity to offer professional counseling, if that's what they would like to engage in, or life coaching, even the education, parenting education, job search skills, some of the things that maybe they didn't have the opportunity to learn as they were growing up, for them to be able to choose from these suite of services to help them address what they'd like to work on in their lives. And build skills that maybe they just haven't been exposed to before.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And that's, you did want to get into that, that's, it's not just that initial encounter, but it's ongoing treatment. And you said, how many people did you say have come back, actually? How many repeat clients have you had?
Well, we've seen 581
unique,
distinct clients.
Distinct clients,
yeah,
yes, that's right.
Yeah, with over 1,700 visits. So that means there are multiples in there.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what we want. You know, our Abrea U program, which is our education program, is a wide curriculum that women and men can choose from.
Yeah.
We have couples who will come in for some of that, too.
Great.
And they work one-on-one with a volunteer and go through a curriculum, spend that time learning and building their skills so that they are able to really be good parents to their children, have healthy relationships, and support themselves.
Wow. Yeah. And so what's the cost of all this? How much do people have to pay for this?
They don't pay a thing.
You're kidding.
And that's really important to us that our services are free and confidential. We want to take down any barrier that might be in the way of a woman walking through our door.
Right.
Yeah, and we are only able to do that, obviously, through the generosity of our donors. We have such an awesome family of Abrea supporters and donors, and we are beyond grateful. Just the you asked about fruits, just the outpouring of love and support for our mission and the way in which we're going about it, which is different. It's a unique model in the state in terms of our combination of both medical and personal support services, as well as our online presence and our ease of access online, and our ability to reach, you know, women, particularly young women that are either millennial, Gen Z, and really know how to reach them and speak to them in a way that's going to resonate. So all of that together has really resonated with supporters and our donors, longtime donors that have been with us since, you know, I mean, University Life Care Center, one of our predecessor organizations, was founded in 1975. So been around for a very long time. And Highland Life Care Center, another predecessor, so we merged those, that was founded in 2000. And so we've got longtime donors there, but we've got lots of new friends too, which is just been great.
So you mentioned your online presence as well, and I think we got to make sure and get the website out there.
Yeah,
first of
thanks.
All, there's resources there for clients or potential clients, I'm assuming. What's the website again?
Pretty easy. It's abria.org. So it's abria.org. That's our client-facing website, which we just keep very much focused only on our clients. We don't, mix in for donors or volunteers or so forth, but very much focused. And one of the neat things about our client website is that we have quite a easy way to set up appointments. So we have instant online booking of appointments.
Wow.
So if you're, you know, if there's a young woman, it's 2 a.m, she's panicked, she doesn't know really who to turn to, she Googles us, and we have very high traffic online. She's going to find us and be able to go in and see if there's an appointment open at 8 the next morning, she can book it.
Wow.
And so that's been a very helpful aspect of our client-facing website. We also have online chat, and then we have texting options. There's a lot of ways to reach us. And so we've really focused on how do we make this as easy for a tech-savvy, you know, online generation to reach us. And then our supporter website is just simply supporters.abria.org.
Okay. So if there's supporters in there in front of the Abria.
Supporters.abria.org.
Right. And I'm guessing we can find all the information as well as maybe even make an online donation.
You can definitely do that. and we encourage people to join our Sustainers Club. It's folks that just, God bless, we've just so many. We have more than 100 now, I think 120, that provide monthly donations to us just to help us keep our lights on. I mean, we have to pay our bills every month, and they help us do that. It's a great blessing.
That's a wonderful thing. And if I may say so, Sarah, I think we have something coming up just right in the near future here too, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the fun run walk.
Thank you. Yes, less than 24
meander,
hours.
Amble, whatever it is.
Yes. We try to figure out if we could pack any more words into the name of this. you could, I guess, shorten it to it's the Abria Walk in 5K. And
there you
that's,
go.
Yeah, it's tomorrow morning. We're super excited.
Which is Saturday, just
it's
in case
Saturday,
there are people
May
listening.
It's Saturday, May 13th. And I would just say, if anybody's out there listening and wants to come by, we are at Upper Landing Park in St. Paul, and there's plenty of room, and it's just going to be a load of fun. We are definitely expecting about 1,000 people, but we could take any number of people more that would like to join. We've got a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
We have a walk. We have kids run. It's just fun. There are three age categories, and if anybody was there last year, it was just absolutely delightful. We have the age 1 to 3 category for a little kid's
one
run.
1 to 3.
Yeah, I think we have them run like 3 feet or something. I don't know. It's pretty short.
That may be a run I could do, actually.
Yeah.
That's good. I may sign up for that one.
No, that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, and then we have 4 to 7-year-old and an 8 to 11. So that's a lot of fun. Lots of stuff for kids to do, but also for teenagers and young adults. We've got all kinds of activities and a family-friendly finishers party. We've got a DJ and a live band, a 17-piece live band, big horn section.
Wow.
Claudia C. and the Wise Guys. And
wow.
If anybody knows John and Claudia Capello, shout out to these guys. Mm-hmm. They've been building up their band over the last decade, really. And man, are they good. So yeah. They're going to be there, and everybody's donating their time and talent. It's so amazing.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic. That's tomorrow. Well, again, tomorrow, Saturday, May 13th. Time and place again?
It's at Upper Landing Park in St. Paul, right on the Mississippi River. And in fact, the 5K, that last mile plus of the 5K, beautiful along the Mississippi River. And if you look at the forecast, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. So
yeah.
the 5K starts at 9 a.m. Right. Walk starts at 9 a.m. We really suggest people get there really early, though. We have an opening ceremony at 8:45, and we're super excited. The Trinity School at River Ridge chamber singers are going to be singing our national anthem to get us kicked off.
Wow. That sounds better and better with each passing moment. That's good. We're speaking with Nancy Utoff, the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources, and Sarah Mealy, who serves on the board of directors there. We're going to take a little break, but ladies, can you stick with me for a while?
Sure can.
Yeah, excellent. So
thanks,
right after Patrick. This break, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what's going on at Abrea Pregnancy Resources and what the vision is for the future. So stick with us.
Rediscover.
This is Annette Reagan with Becker Building and Remodeling, here to talk to you about kitchen remodels. Let's face it, quality kitchens are the most expensive rooms to renovate. Yet homeowners are always pleased after they've made these investments. It's because we are people who thrive on relationships. We gather and pray together, and we support each other, and that has translated into the home. We don't want to be separated by walls and many small rooms. We want bigger spaces where we can all be together. Give us a call today to discuss how we can make your kitchen both more functional and welcoming, so it really reflects how your family uses the space, together. Becker Building and Remodeling is a growing, Catholic-owned design-build company you can trust. We are excited to be opening a new design center this summer. Call us today at 612-363-0493 to get your kitchen conversation started. Keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. We are still speaking with Nancy Utoff, the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources, and Sarah Mealy, who's on the board of directors there. Abrea Pregnancy Resources, if you haven't heard about it, we've been talking about it. So if you're just tuning in, go back and listen to the first half of this lovely interview with these lovely ladies. It's located there on University and Vandalia there in St. Paul, providing all sorts of resources, all sorts of things that people, pregnancy, those in crisis pregnancies, those who might think they're in crisis pregnancies, to go and avail themselves of. And those who are just needing some support, needing some help, needing some direction. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, ladies, turning to the future now, what's in store? So, Nancy, you're now in the director's chair, and you're, as you said yourself, you're learning the ropes. You're there every day, you know, finding out what's going on from a day-to-day basis. But, you know, where are you headed for the future? What has God really placed on your heart for where is Abrea going from here, from this point on?
We developed a 5-year plan to really guide where we're going.
Okay.
And so that was developed in February 2015, and then the board approved it, and Abrea was born. So, you know, we talked a little bit about what's happened so far.
Right.
Some really exciting things continue to develop. One in particular is our outreach to young people, particularly to students in middle school, high school, and college-age students. And it's called Life Edge Solutions. And it is education to help young people understand what a healthy relationship is. First, to understand themselves, love themselves, and learn how relationships can be healthy with others. And the reason we're doing this is we really want to get to young people before they ever have a situation where they would need our other services.
Right. Yeah, I love that idea that we're not just pulling people out of the river where we're standing, but we're going back up the river and seeing where people are falling in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and a couple of ways, our strategies to do this also are refreshed maybe from things that have happened in the past. First of all, we have a fine young woman who leads the program named Ellie Jensen. And our model is that it's young people who teach and facilitate these sessions for their peers and their up-and-coming peers. The other thing is the curriculum we're using is an evidence-based curriculum that uses a public health model about risk avoidance. And so in the public health realm, we think about risk avoidance in smoking, risk avoidance in drug abuse.
Yeah.
And that's the same model we're using about sexual risk avoidance. Unfortunately, the model that tends to be used in society about issues around sexuality are risk reduction versus risk avoidance. And so we just know that that risk avoidance model in these other realms, like smoking, others, that really works, and that's the approach we're taking with this curriculum, too. And again, I said, as I said, it was an evidence-based curriculum developed nationally, and we have had some really good results in holding some of our workshops, both in faith-based schools. So we've been at Epiphany and St. Agnes. This summer, we're doing some work with a workshop with a nonprofit in the Twin Cities that works with at-risk youth.
Wow.
And so we really want to make sure we can also get into those secular environments to reach kids with this approach that is not, it's not about evangelizing. It's very much something that can appeal to all audiences, people of all faiths and people of no faith.
Right, right.
At the same time, you know, while it is, it's not a religious based, we're giving messages, and again, these young people that are young adults, they're going to resonate with, you know, kids that are in middle school and high school and then their peers in college. We're giving messages that they're not necessarily hearing in the culture about really kind of the dignity of the human person.
Yeah.
You know, the risk reduction approach, you know, is just pretty much all about contraception, all about, quote, being safe. And, you know, it, you always have to say, question is safe from what? You know, what do you try? And it's just there's a different approach that's just much more positive. It's helping them understand their own dignity, the dignity of the human person to have a respect for their life and for life in general. But that they're going to make decisions that just simply avoid those sexual risks, like sexually transmitted diseases, which, by the way, there's a epidemic of STDs across the country, and in Minnesota, explosion, highest levels, you know, in our country ever. And so, you know, what we say is avoid the situations. Here's how you can have a, you can have dignity in your relationships, and not necessarily buy into what they hear in the culture about sex and what the expectations may be there.
Right. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask, too, specifically in that risk avoidance. Clearly, there's physical things that we need to look at in terms of risk avoidance, physical, you know, potential physical dangers that are out there if we don't abstain, if we don't if we engage in that sort of activity. But there's also, Sarah, you mentioned this, injury to maybe self-perception, dignity, relationships,
definitely,
you know, things like that. So you do you hit on those as well,
And I would say, and Nancy can talk about this, basically what we've learned and what we've seen is a lot of what we would call relationship poverty among our young people and among a lot of people, regardless of age. And we see that. We see the brokenness, and a lot of it is that relationship poverty. So going upstream, talking with kids about what does a healthy relationship look like? How can you respect one another? How can you be in a relationship? And how can you also, you know, you can cherish another human being?
Right.
And, you know, the opposite of loving someone is using them, you know, and we talk to them about that, you know, is how do you, nobody wants to be used, you know, so how do you engage in some self-control and waiting, you know, so you know, we don't explicitly talk, you know, okay, kids, this is chastity training, this is abstinence education. We just talk about, all right, healthy, you know, what are healthy relationships, what those look like. And our team that is doing this, these young adults are amazing,
yeah,
and they're doing great work.
That's wonderful. So, Nancy, any You know, one of the hallmarks of effectiveness that Planned Parenthood has really taken on is their locations, that they're everywhere. I'm just wondering, any thoughts about maybe someday Abria having multiple locations, more than just the one?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we have a 5-year plan.
Right.
And one element of that plan in the latter part of that is if the possibilities exist, replicating the Abria model. So we're very open to that. Mm-hmm. And because as we have seen this work, and we have also seen our colleagues from other life care centers show a lot of interest in what we're doing and wanting to learn from us, we've been very happy to share and really want to make sure that what we're doing in the heart of where the majority of abortions happen really has ripple effects to the other pregnancy resource centers in the Twin Cities and beyond.
Yeah.
And I might say, Patrick, there may be an actual kind of announcement about something along that line soon.
What? Oh. This was not a plant.
Tuned.
I didn't know.
I know you don't know that, but yeah, the timing's pretty great. So I think even very soon there's going to be a pretty kind of neat announcement about that.
You're just vying for more time here on the Rediscover Hour, aren't you? I see how it goes.
So, please invite us back.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Sarah, just maybe a closing comment from you too is how are you doing, since you're doing the development, the marketing thing, and you've talked about it. How are we doing?
We're doing great. And I would say one thing just on our event for tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've set a $70,000 goal, and we're 90% of the way to that goal.
Wow.
And we're just hoping if anybody hasn't had a chance to pitch in, wow, now would be a great time. Go to supporters.abria.org, and easy place there to donate.
Right. And Nancy, just one final comment from you too. How can we pray for you?
For all of us?
For all of
all
you.
Of us.
And you, too.
And me, too. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think, you know, we really are guided by the Holy Spirit, and we all acknowledge that. We are a secular organization, but we're all motivated by our deep faith. And so pray for leadership that we can support those who are working with the clients, and pray for those who actually work one-on-one with our clients, with Ellie, with the young people, and really importantly, pray for our clients.
Oh, well, we would be happy to do so. Thank you, ladies, so much
for
joining
you.
Us here on the Rediscover Hour this morning. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
So, Nancy Utoft and Sarah Mealy, and again, if you want to check out the Abria client, or excuse me, the Abria resources, go to abria.org. For those of you looking for information on how to give to Abria, that's supporters.abria.org. We are going to move now into our community events. So Paul Sadek is now joining us.
What's left of me?
That's
right. I'm at that point in this cold where I sound a lot worse than I feel, so bear with me.
Yes, please.
Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally this Tuesday, May 16th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Holy Name of Jesus in Medina. Father John Eckert, pastor of Holy Trinity in South St. Paul, will speak on fathers leading families in the faith, the biblical perspective applied to today. There will also be benediction with Bishop Cousins. So this Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There will be time for adoration and confession, and dinner will be provided. Registration is not required, but a free will offering will be collected. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchman.com or contact Enzo at 651-291-4483.
Mark your calendars for the Grand Old St. Mark's Festival, Friday, May 19th, 5 to 10 p.m. and Saturday, May 20th, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. 2 days of rides, food, entertainment, and fun. Learn new dance moves. Find out if you're smarter than a fifth grader and explore the beautiful church from a new angle on the church tour. Find out more. Visit stmark-mn.org.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader, Paul?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Oh, I'd like to meet you there and see if we can figure that out.
Maybe.
So, grandparents, you are invited to the Grandparents Study Group Training Workshop hosted by the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. This workshop will be held on Wednesday, May 24th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Chancery in St. Paul. Join us to learn about two wonderful grandparent study guide options. Number one, grandparents living the faith on our journey to eternity. And number two, the grand adventure, a new call to grandparenting. A free will offering will be accepted. To register, please visit the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.com.
And in honor of the 100-year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults invite all young adults to a three-night speaker series on the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal. Come to the Cathedral of St. Paul's Hayden Hall Wednesdays, May 17th, May 24th, and May 31st to learn more about our Blessed Mother's message on how to become closer to God. Talks begin at 7 p.m. and we'll be praying the rosary at 6:30 p.m. Light refreshments provided. For more information, visit the Cathedral St. Paul Young Adults Facebook page.
Yeah, you know, Paul, we've been talking about setting that up, and our young adults have really put a lot of effort into doing that.
They always do. It's a great organization.
It is.
The Cathedral Young Adults.
It is.
Has been for years.
Yeah, absolutely. And in case you're wondering what a young adult is, at least by our definition.
I don't qualify anymore.
Well, I know. Those age 19
you
to
don't either.
39, yes. So 39, that's pretty generous, I think, in terms of young adults.
Yep.
I became Catholic and then a year later aged out.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So then I was gone.
It's all done now. So what's up next week?
Next week, we are going to be speaking with Gail Dorn, president of CSCOE, which is the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. Gail will share with us CSCOE's future plans and how grandparents and parents can support their effort. We will also hear from a few children who will share their thoughts on Mary, faith, their school experience, and upcoming summer plans. Summer plans, striking hope in the heart of every teacher and fear in the heart of every parent.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Indeed. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.